The North Texas stories you need to know. This is the All Local from News Radio 1080 KRLD.
The Texas legislature is now back in session. Texas has a new Speaker of the House. State Rep. Dustin Burrows from Lubbock won the gavel today on a vote of 85 to 55 over State Rep. David Cook from Mansfield.
Recent days have tested our bonds, yet they've also proven that this institution is greater than any one individual or any faction. The House endures because Texas and Texans need it to endure.
Burrows is a Republican, but got some support to become the new Speaker from Democrats. Representative Cook has the support of Governor Abbott and Lieutenant Governor. It seems everyone is sick. But what if you could fix it by just changing your sleep hygiene?
Feeling extra stuffy?
I got a fever.
It might be cedar fever to blame. It peaks this month in Texas. Last year, Dallas ranking fourth for seasonal allergies nationwide. But simple steps can ease symptoms, like washing sheets in hot water once a week. Also,
if you have pets in the house, be mindful that whatever's outside, the dog will bring inside, for example. So keep the pets out of the bed if you can.
And make sure you change those HVAC filters often. From the 24-Hour News Center, John Little, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
Remember back 3 years ago when a shooting in a high school in Arlington hurt three people? Well, one of those kids has died.
Arlington police say Zach Selby was killed Monday evening. He had previously been shot at Timberview High School when prosecutors say Selby and Timothy Simpkins got into a fight, and Simpkins pulled a gun and injured three people. Simpkins is now serving a 12-year prison sentence, but Arlington police are not trying to figure out who killed Selby. They were called to an apartment complex on a report of a shooting and found the 19-year-old lying in the parking lot. Selby died at the hospital. Police say witnesses heard arguing before the shooting, but they're still trying to pin down a motive and have not made any arrests. The police do say high-risk activity may have been involved, but they haven't given details. In Arlington, Alan Skaya, News Radio 1080 KRLD.
A Tarrant County jury convicts an 18-year-old of the capital murder of multiple people.
Jay Nixon Clark will get an automatic life prison term for a capital murder, and there is a sentencing hearing for the aggravated assault of an 18-month-old toddler. Nixon Clark was 16 when he opened fire on a home in Northwest Fort Worth during a drive-by shooting. He killed a 5-year-old and a 17-year-old in addition to wounding the child. Police say it was retaliation for a drive-by that happened at a friend's home days before. A judge certified Nixon Clark to stand trial as an adult. From the 24-Hour News Center, LP Phillips News, Radio 1080 KRLD.
The Tarrant County Sheriff says 9 people died in his jail last year, but state and federal reviews have shown he's following protocol. Bill Wayburn gave county commissioners an explanation of 2 jail deaths at a meeting today. Then protesters shut down the meeting for several minutes. Darren Yancey's brother had a medical emergency. He died at the jail. And he says jailers ignored inmates calling for help.
I would advise this court to have the Texas Rangers investigate it. Nothing against the Fort Worth Police Department. But from what I've read, they've taken what the internal is and put a rubber stamp on it. That's not investigating. That's simply doing a once-over.
Wayborn says there's no evidence Mason Yancey was denied medication, and Yancey was talking to a couple nurses when he collapsed.
A biennial spectacle begins today in Austin when the 89th session of the Texas legislature is gaveled in. And as always, there's going to be a lot of ground to cover. Now we're going to bring in political science professor Mark Jones at Rice University right now to talk about it. Mark, good morning. It all starts today. A lot of drama in the House, which has to elect a new speaker. Where does that stand?
Well, right now we have 2 Republicans who are competing for that spot, Dustin Burrows from out in Lubbock and David Cook from Mansfield. Cook is the formal nominee of the Republican caucus. He won the support of that back in December, to which Burrows and his allies walked out of the meeting. Cook is attempting to raise his number of supporters from the current 57 Republicans up to at least 76, primarily by peeling off the minority of Republicans who continue to support Burrows, a number that oscillates between about 24 and 30. Burrows, on the other hand, is focused on maintaining the support of, say, 24 or more Republicans, and getting the support of a majority of Democrats to push him up over the 76 votes he needs to be Speaker. Who wins that race will really have a big impact on the type of policies that pass during this legislative session. if Cook wins, based on the support of overwhelming Republicans, then we're likely to see more conservative legislation pass, and many of the conservative bills that come out of the Senate go straight through or not be watered down too much. On the other hand, if Dustin Burroughs is elected Speaker, then we're likely to see many of the conservative bills that come out of the Senate never see the light of day in the House, or if they do, get watered down by the time they reach the House floor.
All right, once that's settled, and that could be as soon as today, we're going to get into the issues themselves, starting with school choice. Tell us about that.
School choice legislation was a top priority for Governor Abbott back in 2023. Despite calling several special sessions, he failed to pass it and adopted another strategy of going after the approximately 20 or so Republicans who had opposed it, who, along with Democrats in the House, who therefore blocked the passage of school choice legislation that had cleared easily in the Senate. Abbott was successful during the 2024 primary season, either by getting many of those anti-school choice Republicans to retire or defeating them in the primary, to the point now where he has a good 79 or 80 votes in favor of school choice if it would reach the floor in the Texas House. I think this session we're going to see school choice legislation pass. The only real question is how robust and how expansive it will be.
So what are some of the other big issues?
Well, property tax relief will continue to be a high priority item for Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. And so we can expect some type of property tax relief legislation to pass out of the Senate and likely also clear the House. In large part, Republicans know that's something that their voters want to see, and it's a relatively popular issue. There's also going to be a focus on improving water infrastructure and providing more funding for K-12 public education, something that didn't happen in 2023 because it got tied up with the school choice legislation and therefore failed.
All right, we're hearing we got a big budget surplus. So is this going to be the thing that pays for all of this?
Yeah, the surplus, Controller Glenn Hager has told us the surplus is just shy of $24 billion. I would expect them to spend most of that. Some will go to property tax relief, some will go to school choice, and some will go to increasing the amount of money sent to schools for teacher pay as well as for school infrastructure. And there, if there's any left over, water infrastructure and the creation of more dispatchable natural gas electricity plants will be another way to spend money.
All right, we're going to wrap it up with abortion, Mark. Will we see an effort this year to add even more restrictions to Texas' current abortion law?
Texas has already the most strict abortion legislation in the country. Along with about half dozen other states, it only allows abortion in the event that the mother's life is at risk. There's always the possibility that Republicans who want to burnish their pro-life credentials will try to pass legislation that, say, makes it more difficult for women to obtain abortion drugs here in Texas from out of state. But by and large, I think Texas Republicans realize that their position on abortion is in the minority in the state, and that they're probably better off not trying to push the envelope any further to the right on abortion restrictions, since a majority of Texans already don't agree with the state's abortion legislation, believing that it's too strict. Now, most Texans, a majority, do not want to see a return to Roe v. Wade standards, where abortion is legal for any reason through 20 to 24 weeks of pregnancy, but they don't. There's not much support among the Texas public for making abortion even more difficult in Texas than it already is today. So we will see some legislation that might, at the margins, try to push legislation to the right and make it more difficult for a woman to obtain an abortion in Texas, either primarily through mail order drugs like mifepristone. But I don't think that legislation will pass.
As always, get your popcorn ready.
Right. Yeah, and that's, the thing to always keep in mind is that, Texas, unlike most states, tries to cram in 2 years of legislative sessions in 140 days.
Mark, thanks so much. That is Rice University political science professor Mark Jones with us here on KRLD. Cowboys looking for a new head coach. For most of the past week, I think that's something most people were not expecting to hear. They kind of resigned themselves to another season, at least another season of Mike McCarthy.
Because they were letting it drag out.
That's right. Jerry Jones, he wasn't going to make a change. That was the prevailing thought. And then yesterday rolled around. Now, McCarthy's gone. All sorts of names are floating around out there, including, yep, Coach Prime.
Oh, my gosh. That's clickbait, guys.
Deion Sanders. Could that actually happen? Let's bring in NBC5's Nui Scruggs. He's going to start things off with us this morning. Nui, good morning. We're going to talk about Deion here just a minute, but let's start with McCarthy's departure yesterday. Did that surprise you?
No, because when you're talking about trying to bring Mike back, let's say Mike came back at a short deal. Short deal would have been 3 years. So now you're talking 8 years of Mike McCarthy. Four-year deal, that's 9 years. Five, that's 10 years. I don't think Jerry could sell that to the fan base. Everybody's saying, yeah, let's go ahead and sign up for 8 total years of Mike McCarthy. That's 2 presidential administrations. So I don't think that was going to work. So that was my thing on Mike. And obviously, he got dealt a bad hand. I mean, let's make sure we're fair. This team that was put together by Jerry wasn't good. I said all year long on Channel 5, the GM wasn't GM when it came to his job this year.
When do you think Jerry soured on McCarthy? Was it that Packers loss last year in the playoffs? Do you think he was ever able to okay, go ahead.
Yes, because if he wasn't soured on it, he'd give him a new deal. Would have made him work with it last year without a contract. So, yes, he was upset about it. And, frankly, they never recovered as an organization, in my opinion.
I want to go back to something you just said. Jerry Jones, did he give McCarthy the tools he needed to succeed this year?
No. He knows it, and he's taken some blame for it, but Jerry's not going to fire himself. We know that.
That's true. All right, now, Deion Sanders, I just think this is the most ridiculous thing, but Deion did claim that Jerry reached out. They had some conversations. All right, is this at all realistic here, or are we just having some fun with this thing?
Jerry told me in his office last November that he did recommend Deion for the job at Arkansas a couple years ago as their football coach. So he has an affinity for Deion and his coaching acumen. Deion has said before, and I've talked with Jacques Taylor, who wrote the book Coach Prime, and he spent a year with him at Jackson State, and one of his former assistants, who was a former Cowboy, Dennis Thurman, he talked before about it. Deion has said he didn't want to coach the pros. Deion has said he wanted to coach the pros. He likes coaching kids and reaching them. So that, I believe, is still true. Let's start to look at how business works. Deion Sanders has a contract from Colorado that he apparently hasn't signed yet. They're trying to find more money for him. There's not another college job that he can leverage, but boy, all of a sudden, if you say he could go to the Dallas Cowboys, now maybe some boosters find a little bit more money so they don't lose their coach. So in some ways, Jerry could help him out in terms of, let's say they do a formal interview, because a formal interview hasn't taken place. A formal interview needs to take place with at least 2 minority candidates. Deion Sanders could check off one box, and Deion Sanders could also go back to Colorado and say, hey, look, I'd like to stay, but I need this here. Otherwise, Jerry's talking to me. So this could be 2 friends helping each other out.
Jerry's biggest enemy is apathy, which I, for the first time in all the years that I've been a Cowboys fan, I detected a little bit of that this season. That's Jerry's enemy. This would sure take care of that, though.
It would. It would. For those who want the style and those who want what Colorado has, people looking at you and all the eyeballs, that would help. But at the same time, it's the Dallas Cowboys. People consistently come back, okay? They can't quit it. They say they're going to quit it. They come on back year after year.
It's the hopium.
It's on 30 years. Exactly. It's the hopium. And I won an Emmy on that whole thing, a hopium. You know what? Yeah.
I hope
Deion can do this. I hope Coach so-and-so can do this. Jerry's always going to sell you the hopium. They win 2 or 3 games, and then, we're all back on the wagon again. That's what happens. Jerry's a master at it, and it's going to continue.
All right, if you're a betting man, which one name that you think is probably the lead candidate right now to nail this job?
Honestly, I don't know. I really don't know, because I don't know what Jerry is looking for. I will tell you my opinion. My opinion is he needs a leader of men. And a guy who was once in the building was a guy named Rich Bisaccia, who's currently the special teams coach with Green Bay. He was the guy who took over the Raiders when they fired John Gruden and led them to the playoffs. Rich Bisaccia is beloved by people who played for him for the Cowboys in other places. They don't need a play caller. They need somebody who can lead men. Dan Campbell isn't calling any plays for Detroit. He leads men. Jimmy Johnson never called plays when he was with the Cowboys. He led men. And we talk about special teams coaches and the success of them through the years. You go back and you look, Dick Vermeil, first ever special teams coach in the NFL, won a Super Bowl. Bill Cowher, former special teams coach in Kansas City, won a Super Bowl. Bill Belichick's first job in the league, special teams coach. John Harbaugh right now, Baltimore, doing it very well. To me, Rich Bisaccia is a guy that Jerry needs to get on the phone. And, oh, by the way, since he coached the Cowboys, he understands the whole circus of what's going to happen when he walks in the building.
Hey, that's the big thing. You got to understand what a bleep show you're going to get into.
Job, yeah.
And Rich knows it. Rich knows it. And I know for a fact that here's a guy that would have a staff of people ready to go. But ultimately, you need somebody who can lead men. You can find play callers all day. Go to Detroit. The first play caller didn't work out. Former Cowboy Anthony Lynn, former Cowboy coach Anthony Lynn. Then he got Ben Johnson. Jimmy's first play caller in Dallas was Dave Shula, Don's son. He fired him. Then he hired North Turner. It's about leading men. And to me, that's what Jerry needs to do, make a bold move. Will it sell tickets? Will people be all excited? No, but at the end of the day, you start winning some games and you start having substance, because the problem around here has been too much style. Go get yourself some substance and start winning again.
I like that. Dewey, thank you so much, man. Great stuff. Appreciate it. That is NBC5's Dewey Scruggs with us here on KRLD.
You know, I never heard of that approach. Everyone's saying you need an offensive coordinator. You got to get something with Dak. You don't have that leader of men being thrown out there. And that's a name I hadn't really thought about.
Other than Dion, if you had to, they just could scratch one name off the list of all these names we've been hearing, what would it be?
I would say Kellen Moore, because you talk about a guy that I don't think can lead men. Does he command a room when he comes in there? He's 17.
No, he does. He looks.
He's drinking Capri Suns over there, man.
Is he shaved yet?
Yeah, I don't know.
The All Local is updated three times a day. For the latest news, weather, and traffic, listen to News Radio 1080 KRLD. Visit KRLD.com, download the Odyssey app, or ask your smart speaker to play News Radio 1080 KRLD.